Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at this year's second caravan crisis. The caravan crisis from earlier this year is coincidentally reoccurring right before the upcoming midterms, but this time Trump's been able to deflect attention away from himself and towards Mexico. The cynics among his supporters suggested that the Democrats and/or the president's deep state foes might secretly be behind the large-scale organized exodus of at least 5,000 Central Americans to the U.S., which Trump himself has repeatedly implied is a credible theory. He's blamed his opponents for seeking to politically benefit from this suspicious crisis, but is masterfully trying to turn it around on them so that it doesn't deal any damage to the Republicans before the midterm elections in less than 2 weeks' time. One of Trump's most successful tactics in this respect has been the intense pressure that he's putting on Central American and Mexican governments to proactively disband the caravan before it comes anywhere near the U.S.'s borders. He threatened to immediately suspend all aid to Honduras and Guatemala if they didn't do their part to responsibly rein in their citizens. And he was even able to get Mexico to deploy riot police to its southern border, although they ultimately proved ineffective in stopping the caravan because they lacked the political will to resort to the violent means that were necessary to prevent it from crossing into its borders. This has nevertheless put Mexico in the spotlight for a few reasons, the most headline-grabbing of which is that Trump threatened to close the U.S.'s southern border if it doesn't stop the caravan from heading northward. He also promised to send the military there, too. On top of that, Mexico has officially requested the assistance of the UN High Commissioner for Refugees along its own border with Guatemala, which is evoking shades of the organization's role in the much worse Mideast migrant crisis. Furthermore, Mexico is in the midst of a political transition after this summer's elections that will be completed at the beginning of December, and it also signed a reformed NAFTA deal with the U.S. too. Now is certainly not the best time for Mexico to be destabilized by another caravan crisis, and it doesn't help any that the U.S. now has more leverage on it than ever before, given the sensitive domestic context in which this is happening, as well as Washington's threats to close the border and possibly even weaponize the newly agreed USMC free trade agreement. Folks, for all of our listeners in the United States of America, I know this is probably the top topic of the week, apart from this pipe bomb situation that's going across in the United States. So I hope you all will find this segment to be very interesting, but also very balanced. The first guest of the day is Mr. Hervoya Morich. He is the former adjunct professor of international relations at Mexico's Tecnológico de Monterrey, a global perspectives teacher at the Nazarbayev Intellectual School in Kazakhstan, and the host of the Geopolitics and Empire podcast. Hervoya, welcome to Trendstorm. I'm very happy to host you today.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Hervoya, how credible are Trump's insinuations that the Democrats and or his deep state foes are responsible for this latest crisis? And how much of the blame do you attribute to Trump's own policies in the region?
Well, I would say it's a perfect storm considering the precarious economic and security situation, which includes the transitioning Mexican administration and the chickens that have come home to roost in the American empire. Trump's policies and rhetoric are partly to blame. And myself, besides being a U.S. and Croatian citizen, I'm a naturalized Mexican citizen. And if you come and live in Mexico, one impression you will get is that a large percentage of Latin Americans have been greatly offended by Trump's offensive and vulgar rhetoric. But the blame for the crisis goes back much further in history than Trump. I visited one NGO called FM4 in Mexico, which is also supported by the UNHCR and other agencies. And they help migrants in Mexico. And I asked them, why so many flow from Central America via Mexico to the U.S.? And they said it's primarily because of the legacy of the Spanish Empire, but perhaps even more so the U.S. Empire, which in the previous century installed dictatorships in these countries such as El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, and extracted the wealth and resources, leaving behind failed states with little to no rule of law or economy. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I left Latin America recently, was for safety reasons. But touching on the deep state factor, there are many players who stand to benefit or weaponize the migrant crisis, whether it's the Latin American states who are angry or discontented with Trump in the U.S., or AMLO, who might use it as a bargaining chip, or the radical left, who are tied to globalist actors such as Soros, who, where we've seen past evidence of fake paid protesters or suspicious support of migrants. Recently, the Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz discussed a video recording purportedly from Honduras, where migrants are being persuaded to join the caravan through cash payments, and he's calling for an investigation of the video to determine its validity. And also, the Honduran president had said the caravan is financed by Venezuela. And so, like I said, there are real organic roots to the problem, but this caravan does seem to have metastasized in an unnatural and kind of suspicious manner, especially considering the timing of the midterm elections. And you know, I think there's a important quote from Peter Sutherland some years ago. He gave an interview to the BBC. He's a Bilderberg steering committee member and former UN migration chief. And he said in the interview that national identity should be undermined through migration, when he was discussing the EU. And I have one more final point. If we go a bit further, some political strategists have claimed the caravan is a political gift to the Trump administration itself, that fear is a standard operating tactic that helped motivate voter choice right before elections, and that Trump's overall strategy is to promote chaos or the illusion of chaos in order to push policy through. And at the beginning of the year, Trump did give an interview where he explicitly stated that it would be difficult to unify America without a crisis event. So again, could this migrant caravan be the perfect crisis event to push through some of Trump's policies, including the border wall and militarization? So, you know, these are some of the questions I think we should be asking. It's tough to tell really who's behind what.
Yeah, I think you did a great job bringing up the most important points for us to dwell upon as we try to figure out what's really happening here. Now, Hervoye, I want to ask you about the role that the UNHCR can play in helping Mexico balance between its commitments to international law with the refugees and the real politic of Trump's threats to militarize and close the border. So what role do you see them playing here?
Well, you know, if we see the role of UN institutions in the region previously, like such as the one in Guatemala, the International Commission Against Impunity, they have helped, for example, decrease the migration situation by fighting impunity and putting more criminals behind bars. So, you know, that decreases the homicide rate and decreasing the need for people to migrate out of Guatemala and some of these countries. The UNHCR, I don't think they can play a principal or immediate role, because I would think the crisis would first have to be dealt with at the national level by the Mexican state and the United States. And you mentioned international law. Migrants have rights, as well, so do states have rights, you know, to protect their borders. And so opinions will differ based on ideology. You know, left-wing ideology will diminish importance of sovereignty over migrant rights, while right-wing nationalist ideology will prefer stronger borders. And the Mexican authorities have failed to stop the caravan, either intentionally or because they're unable to, especially since they've been stretched thin because of the drug cartels. But, you know, there's one, some analysts from the Center for Immigration Studies have argued that the UNHCR is intentionally lenient on giving out migrant asylum requests due to perhaps their own bias, and they may approve asylum for a large number of migrants that wouldn't otherwise qualify for legal passage under international law. And that's what the U.S. and Mexico have requested from the UNHCR, to help them screen some of these migrants.
Okay, Hervoye, we have about a minute left, so I want to be real brief about asking you what you think about Trump's overall strategy then of linking together the issues of trade, border security, and illegal immigration in the U.S.'s relations with Mexico. Do you think he's been successful?
Well, it hasn't changed that much from Obama's strategy. So far, I guess it's been all right. He's kind of continuing Obama's strategy. CARSI, the Central American Regional Security Initiative, which promotes prosperity, security, and regional integration, as well as the other initiative, A4P, Alliance for Prosperity, again, promoting commerce and security. So he's kind of moving some of those things along, but he's in a different situation than Obama. Things are much worse. And his communications with the Mexican incoming president AMLO have been cordial, but I think we'll have to see what happens after the U.S. midterm elections and after December 1st, when AMLO officially comes to power.
Okay, Hervoya, thank you for speaking with us and helping us to better understand the origins and weaponization of the caravan crisis. I found your views to be both balanced, but also very thought-provoking. So thanks again for coming on to Trendstorm. Now, folks, we're going to switch over here. Mr. Luis Lazaro Tijerina has to say. He's a Mexican-American political commentator and author with a Master of Arts in History.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Luis, Mexico reportedly deported 36% more illegal immigrants in the first 8 months of this year than last one, roughly 70,000 compared to approximately 50,000. So why is the country finding it so difficult to deal with the 5,000 or so people that comprise the current caravan?
Well, Mr. Carrapco, I'd like to thank you for inviting me to speak on this issue. And before we go into that specifically, I'd like to say a couple of things. First thing, this diaspora, the people from the Northern Triangle of Central America, which includes Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, is a people's invasion due to the, the various political intrigues, the backwardness of the governments, the corruption between the cartels and the police, and even aspects of the army in these countries. And so these people who are basically poor and segments of the working class in their desperation is probably the crux of the matter as to why they're fleeing across their borders into Mexico and attempting to reach the United States of America. Regarding the Mexican problem in terms of controlling the immigration of these people who are actually, I would not even call it a caravan, but asylum seekers, I would say that they, within the realm of the Neto regime, they are doing the best they can. I'd like to quote to you something from a crisisgroup.org, which said, quote, engagement of the Mexican armed forces in efforts to control migratory flow from Central America dates back several years. The Mexican Navy created a southern border program in 2013, establishing three security corridors close to the border. These corridors included security checks, rights on the border, a system of checkpoints in areas close to it, where so-called comprehensive border transit centers were located, bringing together personnel from the Navy, Army, and Federal Police, as well as prosecutors, custom officials, municipal and state authorities, and representatives of the National Institute of Migration. That being said, they also created a containment zone. But when we put this all together, we have to ask ourselves, is the Mexican government alone capable of doing this? And my answer to that is no, because there are several factors, again, to be exposed. There is the problem just of the bureaucracy itself and being overwhelmed with these thousands of people from the Northern Triangle that are coming into Mexico, both legally and illegally. There's also corruption, which we need to face regarding not only the Mexican army, but the Federales police. And this also plays a factor in how these people are channeled into the country of Mexico and the delay processes that take place in getting them documented and the process procedures that must be legally implemented to even allow them to come near the U.S. border. And I don't know if that answers specifically what you're saying. I think, though, that if we look at the numbers, for instance, I think this year alone, 82,000 people who came into Mexico and tried to either stay in Mexico or get across to the United States were sent back. So I think it's a fragile situation for the Mexican government.
Yeah, no, that's actually what I want to ask you about, because this is obviously a very fragile and sensitive issue. And you did a great job explaining how sensitive it is for Mexico and just in general. Now, it does look like, from my outside perspective, that Mexico is trying to balance its interests with Central America and the U.S. after being forced by Trump to choose between the two following the onset of this highly publicized crisis. So do you think that's the case, Luis? And if so, how effective has Mexico been?
I think that's the case. And I also think that we have to talk about the new trade agreement between Mexico and the United States, and that's fragile also. If you know about that agreement, you know that there's a part of that program that would raise the wages for Mexican workers in the auto industry. And is the Mexican government capable of doing that? And so you have also this transition of power from the Neto regime to López Obrador. The transition doesn't take place until December the 1st. So that's also rife with political intrigues, if you will. Things behind the scenes that we know nothing about. Then there's also the signal by Trump within the last couple of days when he called himself a nationalist, which is a code term, as you well know, for white nationalist chauvinism. And this also plays havoc on the way the American people in the millions might look upon asylum seekers that come to the United States from Central America and Mexico. And I think in that sense, in the insensitivity, I think we have to talk about honestly about the American people's insensitivity or lack of public humanity. And this is regarding these people that are coming from the Northern Triangle, Central America. And this has been done in incremental fashion, manipulated by the Trump regime. And it has to do with legal policies that regarding immigration shifts. Also, I think as historians, we have to be very cognizant of the fact that parallels can be drawn between the people who are escaping the horrors of their social and political conditions in Central America. It can be compared to the Syrian crisis that took place during the Syrian Civil War, where thousands of ordinary Syrian citizens, including many working people, poor, and then eventually the intellectual and people who fled Syria. Of course, many of those are now returning, but we know what happened there. And we also know that Turkey and Greece were, you know, it was very difficult for them to handle that crisis and to channel those people into Europe. So I would compare this to the Syrian situation, definitely.
These are some very thought-provoking points, and I like how you brought a lot of attention to the various push factors that are that have contributed to this crisis, but that's about all the time that we have now for our discussion, so I'm going to have to let you go, but I want to thank you for coming on a Trendstorm and enlightening us with your perspective. Thank you very much.
Trendstorm.
Okay, folks, if we think back on what both Hervoye and Luis share with us today, we can see that, of course, there are many different ways of analyzing the caravan crisis. On one hand, Hervoye brought a lot of attention to states' rights, and I think that's a very important point that we all need to keep in mind. States also have rights. But as Luis argued, so too do people, obviously, and that this caravan crisis was created because of many pre-existing problems in Central America that finally came to a head. So regardless of where you stand on this issue, I think we can all agree that it's become very politicized and very important, especially given the domestic context that Mexico is experiencing it, and also the electoral context in which the United States is. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, and especially if you disagree with one of our experts, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.